Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Frank Divers of the Fiesta Bowl joining us here in the Sunbury Motor Studio in just a few moments. He is the chairman of the Fiesta Bowl. We'll be talking with him in just a few moments. Jim Delaney next half hour. Penn State will play in the Fiesta Bowl coming up a week from tomorrow. Week from tomorrow, they'll be in Glendale. In fact, the football team will leave tomorrow for Glendale. So they'll spend Christmas. They've done a good job over the years. The only time James Franklin has had his team with him on Christmas Day would have been the Pinstripe Bowl. That game was on December 27th, so he had no choice. So they were together at Christmas. The last two bowl games, the Tax Slayer Bowl and the Rose Bowl, which were both January 2nd games, they did not go out to the bowl site until the 26th. So the kids were able to spend time at home with their families. This time it can't be avoided. With the game a week from tomorrow, they have to go out tomorrow. And there's a series of things that they have to be there for, starting on the 26th. So they're going to practice. He's going to give them just a little bit of warm-up work or something like that, I think, on Sunday. They've got Christmas Day off, and then they're going to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, walk through on Friday, and then the game is Saturday. So that's the practice plan that he has going into this one. In a few moments, Frank Divers of the Fiesta Bowl. You want to talk about enthusiastic. They love having this. Frank nodding his head over there. All right. So today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet. We have hit one of the truly great weekends of the year and one of the great weeks of the year. Now, obviously, some of you do have to work next week. I know, Sean and I are both going to be here next week. And we're going to have shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Let me tell you what we're going to give to you on Thursday and Friday next week, because Jack and I will be going out along with Derek Williams, and we'll be out there on Thursday and Friday. So on Thursday, my two cohorts from the Blue White Tailgate TV show on WHVL-TV that's seen all over the state. And actually, not just here. It's on in Philadelphia, Altoona, State College, Johnstown, York, Harrisburg, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and Binghamton, New York, believe it or not. Shows on in a lot of different places. Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer. We're going to have a roundtable next Thursday. The three of us just knocking things around for an hour of that show. And also Dick Girardi is going to join us on Thursday next week as well, the 28th. On the 29th, the day before the game, it'll be Jack Hamm, Derek Williams, Bob Rondo, who's calling his last game after 37 seasons as the voice of Washington football. Bob Rondo is going to join us, and his color analyst, Damon Heward. So all the announcers that are working the game on radio next Friday to preview the game for you. That's what we have coming up. Now, it is the holiday weekend, and next week's a big holiday week. As I mentioned, yes, we're going to be working next week, but not all of you are working. Some of you had time off, which is great. You deserve it. You earned it. So you want to make sure you're fully stocked for the week. That means a trip tonight or tomorrow to Brewers Outlet. Why? Well, you want to have a great selection when people stop by. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Or maybe people like wine coolers, water, soft drinks, plenty of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and everyone knows the pickle bar altogether now is second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills. I stocked up when I was there just last week. All right. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All this doesn't happen as to what Sean and I do here every day, and of course Kevin's a part of this as well, without Sunbury Motors. All this doesn't happen without Brewers Outlet. I mean, their loyalty to us, believe me, it's reciprocated, our loyalty to them. So, and of course, above all, the audience, we think the absolute world of you. You've been very, very special to us every day. Thank you for being with us every day. Frank Divers in a few moments, our play-by-play call of the day. We're going to do some of the play-by-play calls of the year. We go all the way back to the Rose Bowl and Saquon Barkley turning in this masterpiece.
It's going to be Barkley, first carry, tries to bounce to the outside, turns upfield 20, 25, cuts inside 30, 35, Barkley to the 40, to the center of the field, 45, 50, swings to the far side, 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State, Saquon Barkley, 79 yards, and the Nittany Lions are an extra point away from the lead.
Saquon Barkley, you know what was neat about that call? Is that Lynn Swann had come into the booth because Jack had asked Lynn to come into the booth. And so he had a headset on and he was chit-chatting with us. And he was standing there watching all this happen as the athletic director at USC. That was Saquon Barkley, the masterpiece in the Rose Bowl that he turned in. That was absolutely incredible. All right. Let's bring in Frank Divers now from the Fiesta Bowl, the chairman of the Fiesta Bowl. Frank, it is great to have you here, and not only that, it is great to be going back to the desert and the Fiesta Bowl.
It's an exciting time for us. It's the 47th annual PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, and it's like a family reunion. You know, yeah. Penn State, you know, they came along, they came out to our bowl back many, many years ago.
Christmas Day, 1977.
Thank you. So then we proceed further, and 6-0. And actually, Penn State really helped bring the Fiesta Bowl brand to the national audience. And so we kind of feel a kindred spirit with the Nittany Lions. And it's been a long time, 21 years. And so here we are, and we get this great announcement, as you did on Sunday. And I can tell you that our switchboard lit up, and phones blew up, and everybody from, wow, this is fantastic, to local hotelers that were like ecstatic because they didn't know what was going to happen. And sure enough, when Penn State was named, my phone lit up with a good friend of mine who's the manager of the Four Seasons there in Scottsdale, and he was like, this is perfect. We are getting reservations already from Canada and England, and which would not happened had it not been for catching lightning in a bottle, Steve. I tell you, we really feel that way. The city, the state, our committee, all of our volunteers, it's just a very exciting time. We can't wait to get you guys out there.
All six of those games that Penn State played in were at Sun Devil Stadium over in Tempe.
Yes.
What has it meant going over to Glendale where the Cardinals now play?
It's a great question. So, you know, for the people that are so tied into the college tradition and college venues and so forth, there was a bit of a tug of war to bring those fans along and bring those, you know, coaches along and everybody along with it. But now that we have been in the University of Phoenix Stadium for a number of years, I think it's about 10th year.
Yeah, 2006, I think, was the first year.
Exactly, yes, which was an infamous game into itself. as you know, it was very infamous. But no, it's such a great venue. You know, it's something about life. You don't go back. Yeah. You know, there's a reason why the rear view mirror in a car is this small and the front windshield is huge. We see forward. College football is going forward, and to host our student athletes and our administrators and our coaching staffs in that venue is a real treat.
There are certain cities that know how to handle big events. Phoenix, Glendale, that area has handled Super Bowls. They just handle the Final Four. You handle Fiesta Bowls, national championships, and so forth. What is it about that area that understands how to handle big events and make the visitor feel as if they're part of the community?
Great question. So I think it's two things. First of all, to look at the area as a whole, it's the fact that Phoenix, you know, the founders, the you know, our forefathers that developed that whole market center realized that we had something unique going for us that not too many parts of the country have. And so, hey, we got to be a destination resort. We got a place where people come for vacationing and winters and so forth. So our whole economy evolved out of our welcoming guests from all over the country. And obviously having that opportunity immediately seeded even greater opportunities for us to create venues to be able to host major conventions and major sporting events, obviously. And from there, it's just blown up. Now, on the other side of the table is our Fiesta Bowl organization,
right,
and our founders that this is our 47th year. You know, as they were sitting around the table back in 1970-71, when we played our first game, their question was, how do we stand out from the rest of the bowls?
Right.
And, you know, that was not an easy question because it was bowls that were very well known already. And here we were coming out, you know, Fiesta Bowl, what is that? What's that going to be all about? And they decided to brand us, if you will, as the Hospitality Bowl.
Right.
So we knew we could show Arizona hospitality and we could shine in that respect. And we have lived by that mantra now for 47 years. And we are known as the Hospitality Bowl. And we grow with that each year. We look at what we did last year and how we can improve upon it. And we raise the bar.
Frank, it's been since 1996 when Penn State beat Texas in the,
yes,
Fiesta Bowl since they've been there. For Penn State fans going back out there, what are some things they can expect now from the Great Hospitality Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl?
Thank you very much for asking that question. Well, first of all, if the fans haven't been there since then, they're going to go, wow.
Yeah.
When they see the city and how it's expanded, we're now the fifth largest city in the United States. Where it used to be you'd leave Phoenix and drive, you know, 10, 12 miles to get out to Glendale, and you're driving through desert.
Right.
And now it's all one metropolitan area. It's boomed, and so we've got that. The venues that we've got, our resorts, our hotels, obviously to accommodate the tourists that we have and the conventions that we have that come in all over the year. Our hotelers, our restaurateurs, I mean, this is our city. This is what we do. This is what we take pride in, and we as an organization along with that. But there's obviously we're called the Valley of the Sun for a reason. So, you know, when I left there yesterday, it was 72 degrees. And, you know, we come in here, and it's a bit lower than that.
Well, there's a 7 and 2 in the temperature. They're just inverted.
Thank you. Thank you. And so, you know, but we kind of look forward to it. I have an overcoat that hangs in my closet, and I've had it for 20 years, and I still haven't worn it out. So bring that back here and shake the mothballs out of it and wear it around a little bit.
For example, if you go to the Rose Bowl like Penn State did last year, there's the Tournament of Roses parade that people look forward to.
Yeah.
What are some other outside events besides the game itself that fans can look forward to and maybe put into their planner?
Absolutely. So, well, you know, obviously it's hard to compete with the Tournament of Roses,
right,
parade.
I just use that as an example.
No, but it's a good segue into the fact that we have the Fiesta Bowl parade,
right,
which will be kicking off at 9 o'clock on game day, December the 30th, downtown Phoenix. It is the largest spectator event in the state of Arizona. On an annual basis, we'll have somewhere in the neighborhood of 250,000 to 300,000 people that will line the parade route. It's a phenomenal,
yeah,
event to go to. It's a beautiful day. And so we encourage all of our Penn State fans that will be coming out to come down and participate in the parade. It'll be a lot of fun, and then you'll have plenty of time to leave there, come out to the University of Phoenix Stadium. All ticket holders get free admission to our Fan Fest, which is right outside the stadium. That's a three-hour pregame tailgate party. And then we have our Stadium Club, which is a little bit more elite type of a fan event. That is a ticketed event. So we've got those things going on, and then we've got all across the valley in Scottsdale. We got Old Town Scottsdale, so the people that like a little bit of a Western flair, they can experience that. And you know, we've got Top Golf, we've got golf, you know, so for the Penn State fans, we are golfers also. We got plenty of golfing events, venues that they can play with there and have a lot of fun.
Jack Hamm and I did discuss that, by the way. So,
well,
we did have a little discussion about golf over there.
We can point you in the right direction when it comes to golf.
I bet you can.
Yes.
As the committee chairman, Frank, how rewarding is this, and what is really rewarding about this for you on an everyday basis?
So I appreciate that question. First of all, this is my 22nd year,
yeah,
as a volunteer. So people say, well, why do you do that? Well, you can only volunteer for something 22 years when you love it.
Yeah,
and we love it. It's been a great experience. The greatest experience of it, obviously, is the relationships that we make. We create partnerships with our universities, and we develop relationships with staff members and fans and players, and you know that's priceless for us. Committee chair, I was committee chair 2017. I can't even begin to explain to you the priceless honor. We've been in 47 years to be one of those 47 people to have done that. Was an honor that they bestowed upon me. And my day job had to step back a little bit.
Okay.
We were busy pretty much every day, yeah, all the way through the year, but it was something that I will cherish as a part of my legacy.
No question about that. In fact, 22 years, so your first or second year, Penn State had to be there, right?
Yes, absolutely. I was there, yes.
Okay, so you were probably in your initial dealing with all this.
It was me as a rookie, if you will. Yeah. I was getting rolled into all this. So what is this all about? I knew that I wanted to get involved in something related to community involvement as a businessman. College football, it was just a hand-in-the-glove opportunity for me, and to be able to do that. And I'll never forget the first time that my assignment on game day, mm-hmm, was in the Thunderdome, the tunnel where the players come out.
Yeah.
And I was given a pre-warning before stepping into that tunnel. It's like, you know, we stand on the front and we hold the players back, yeah, until we get the TV word it's time to turn them loose. And it was scary.
Yeah.
There was a lot of energy behind us. And, you know, these boys are looking down at me. It's like, you better get out of the way.
4 years ago, they went to the college football playoff. How important was it in the negotiating for the Fiesta Bowl, and what did it take to make sure you were one of the six when the dust all settled?
Well, thank you. That's a great segue. It was though I could have paid you to give me that one. You know, and obviously no one would really make broadcast this, but we felt complimented. We really did. I mean, obviously we don't just do the Fiesta Bowl. We also have the Cactus Bowl.
Right.
And so when the CFP looked at all the playing grade, the Big Six, all the five members of the Big Six Bowl community, They looked at that and they said, well, you know, this is the first time rolling this out. How's this all going to play out? How's it going to work? And where are we going to go with it? And they looked across the landscape of the bowl community and they said, you know, we can trust this organization because they do it right. I mean, we don't practice at it. We play at it and we play hard at it and we give it everything that we got. And our volunteers will go to any extreme to make sure that our visitors, not just the teams and the universities themselves, but the fans get an experience that they go home with, win, lose, or whatever. Obviously, you know, we're going to win this game for sure, Penn State, because we, you know, we're just committed to it. So it's that reason, I really believe, Steve, that the CFP looked to us and said, okay, we're going to give you this game.
And by the way, the Cactus Bowl is at Chase Field, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Chase, okay, Field, and that'll be on December the 26th.
All right. So just everybody, if you're going to go out to it early, I mean, go over to the game, which is the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And people say, well, how do you play a football game in a baseball stadium? And you know what? I've walked in that stadium with head football coaches, and they look around, they go, wow, this is pretty cool. And we're turning that bowl game into something in addition to just being a football. It's an event. It's a downtown event. We've got a concert series that's going to be there. So the fans that are in town, it's a very affordable. For $40, you can get a ticket to the concert and the game.
Wow.
Combined with that. So it's a great place to take the kids, have the whole family, and take in a great football game, the events around it, and then just get all ready for the Fiesta Bowl on December the 30th.
Last time Penn State went to New Year's Six back-to-back was 85 Orange Bowl, and then that doggone 86-87 game with Miami. It's the last time they went back-to-back.
Wow.
It's a privilege in one of the truly great bowls.
Ah. Well, it's a privilege for us.
Always remember the Tempe Diablos coming here.
And trust me, they remember it too. Those gentlemen, they've been real supporters of ours for many years. And so, yeah, it's been 21 years, Steve. And so we're like, this is a family reunion that's way overdue.
Well, it's going to be a privilege for Jack and me to announce the game. We're looking forward
to it. Thank you. Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to seeing you there.
Frank,
thank
what
you.
An absolute pleasure. Thanks it's so much for
pleasure.
Carving out some time for us today.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
It's an honor.
Thank you.
Frank Divers, the chairman of the Fiesta Bowl. Great to have him on the show. Jim Delaney in the next half hour. Plenty of issues to talk to with him about a wide variety of topics. Don't forget, next week on the show, Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer will be on the show in a roundtable. Dick Girardi will be on the show next week. We'll talk Penn State basketball because, I mean, they've got Ryder, of course, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock in the Jordan Center on after Santa this evening. And then don't forget, then they got a game with Coppin State. Then it's the Big Ten opener with Maryland on January 2nd. So I'll go from the desert to D.C. to do that next weekend. And we'll have Dick Girardi on to talk about basketball next week, along with Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer talking about Penn State football. And then Bob Rondo, Damon Heward from the Washington Network, Jack Ham and Derek Williams from the Penn State Sports Network joining us on Friday's show next week to preview the game from Scottsdale. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And yes, the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show. A thanks to Lee Stout, Harry Westbrook, Larry of the Line. They joined us in the opening hour of the show. Frank Divers, the chairman of the Fiesta Bowl in the previous half hour. Jim Delaney in a few moments. You can check all this out on the Steve Jones Show podcast anytime. Next week on the show, a lot of fun here. Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer will be on the show coming up next Thursday in a roundtable. And also next Thursday, Dick Girardi will be on the show with us as well. Looking forward to talking with him about Penn State basketball. The Nittany Lions have another game coming up tonight with Ryder. That will be at 7 o'clock this evening, following Santa and the Magic Radio. That will be 7 o'clock this evening with Ryder. And then Pat Chambers is going to give his team tomorrow. Let's see, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday off, and won't get them back until... Actually, the 27th is going to give them Tuesday off as well. He said, he told me he's never given his team this much time off at the holidays before. But you know what? There's nobody on campus. You know, the guys are anxious to go home. Most of the players on this team aren't that far away. They have so many Philadelphia players on this team now. They aren't that far away. So he's going to give them 4 full days off. They will not reconvene until the 27th, get ready and play Coppin State on the 30th, on that Saturday. They moved that game up to 1 o'clock because of the Fiesta Bowl. And the then they'll open up the Big Ten season at Maryland on the 2nd. So what I'll do is I'll do the Fiesta Bowl, come back from that, and then go right down to D.C. and get ready for the game at College Park on the 2nd. So the college football playoff games on the 1st will be viewed in the nation's capital. That's what. All right, so that's where I'll be watching it. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Look, it's the big holiday weekend, but in reality, the big holiday week Hey, you've got a couple college bowl games coming up. Well, actually, a little bit tonight. You've got Penn State basketball tonight, too. A couple of college bowl games coming up tomorrow. Full slate of NFL games on Christmas Eve. You also have, I think, well, there's an NFL game on Christmas Eve night, and you also have the Hawaii Bowl. Now, Christmas Day, you got some NBA basketball. I know that really intrigues the masses around here. I understand that. But some of you may enjoy it, you know, the annual Cavalier-Golden State Warrior game. And the and then after that, you're like, okay, you know, we've opened the presents, had a lot of fun with all the gifts. And then suddenly it's Tuesday. And by the way, we're back with the show on Tuesday, by the way. We've got shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We already told you about the guests on Thursday and Friday next week. It's not, and when you look at the week, some of you have the week off, some of you don't. But, you know, there's going to be a bowl game on every single night leading into the Cotton Bowl, which is the New Year's Six going next Friday night with Ohio State and USC, and then, of course, Penn State and Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. So you need to stock up. You want to be fully stocked. If you're going someplace for a holiday party or a viewing party, whatever it happens to be, or just if you're having family and friends over this weekend or at any point next week or for New Year's Eve, whatever it happens to be, you want to be fully stocked. That means you need to go to Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And on top of that, the store is so well laid out. Right? Plenty of room, plenty of help to get cases to the car and so forth. And there's plenty of free parking. And you're saying, well, he hasn't mentioned the pickle bar yet. That's because we save it for last. The pickle bar is indeed second to none. I love the barrels, love the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're finishing up our sixth year of doing this show in the air. Brewers Outlet's been a big reason why we can do that. Purdy Insurance, same thing. Big reason why we can do this. Sunbury Motors is a huge reason why we can do this. This is the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Can you believe it? We're going to be heading into our seventh year of doing this show. Seventh year. And, you know, obviously, all of you with us have been huge. I mean, the audience means everything. And we've tried to hopefully give you some guests that have been fun. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Bob Soci on, the play-by-play voice of the Patriots. Guys like Lee Stout and Harry West, like we had in the opening hour today. And we get the chairman of the Fiesta Bowl on. The fact that we can get Jack Ham and Derek Williams on next week, along with Bob Rondo. And also Damon Heward from the Washington Network joining us next week. They get Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer on in a roundtable. They get Dick Girardi on. We've tried very hard to get what we feel is a high-quality guest, and so many people have said yes to us over the years. Sean has, and then Kevin before him, and Sean's just done a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant job of setting up guests. Brilliant job. I may make a suggestion here and there. Obviously, you know, every once in a while I get a few guests here and there. Yes, I mean, I'll admit I got Derek and Jack just through pure coercion to be on the show. But, you know, it's a partnership that really, really works. And we hope, and based on the reaction we're getting, we look at, you know, things like streaming numbers and things like that, and people are reacting to the show in such a positive way, and we appreciate that very, very much. It's a privilege for me to be here every day. All right. Well, one of the guests, you know, whenever we have a chance to get him and talk with or put it in a request, he almost always says yes. And our appreciation, they'll talk about some of the more powerful men in sports. Well, one of the names that will always come up would be Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten. And the Big Ten this year starting its brand new TV contracts with Fox, Fox Sports 1, ESPN, in conjunction, obviously, and also CBS and the Big Ten Network, where Big Ten schools are making a fair amount of coin right now because of his efforts and his negotiating. And he also has had a big, big hand in what we see today with the college football playoff. And with that, Jim, welcome. Great to have you with us. From us to you and your friends and family, happy holidays.
It's nice to be on, and happy holidays to you. Appreciate it.
Jim, the obvious question is going to be after going through this past weekend, and you've been asked by many people all across the board about 4 versus 8. There's no person on the planet that worked harder to get 2 than you did, okay, in the BCS. I know that with all the politics. So after going through now 4 years of this, how do you feel how it's played out and laid out now that we have a sample size?
Yeah, in some respects, good. You know, obviously I was disappointed, you know, not only this year but last year that our champion wasn't selected. But that was one of the arguments at the time. You know, I argued for the champions to be selected. And I wasn't successful in that argument. Where I've been disappointed is I thought the champions designation would carry more weight than it has to date. Think about this. We've had 4 years, and we had 4 times 4 or 16. They're in conferences, but there are 5 conferences who created this entity. We always knew that there would be time to time, conflict. Somebody would be out. It was actually designed that somebody would be out, not because we wanted to hurt anybody. We just thought that 4 was the maximum we could handle. It was better for the student. It was better for the one semester sport. The fan might want 8 or 12 or 16, but it wasn't something that from a, you know, university sponsored football college situation that we could handle. Now, not only have 2 of our champions not been involved, but there have been 13 champions or co-champions, I think that's right, that have not been involved. We've had 2, maybe 13 is not the right. We've had 2 not included. The Pac-12 has had 2 not included. So I guess it's 7. And then there have been 3 either champions or co-champions in the Big 12. So, we knew there.
Right. So go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
No, so I was just saying, we knew there would be some exclusion. There have been 2 drivers at large teams, Alabama and Ohio State. I wasn't sure that we would have any, but I was very much surprised. Last year, Penn State, was in a head-to-head with, because of the seedings, with Washington. I thought Penn State had a stronger resume myself. They beat Ohio State, and they didn't have an FCS team on their resume. I can't relitigate that. I had already seen a 2-loss Stanford team, a 2-loss Oklahoma team out, and 1-loss teams at Baylor and I think it was TCU. So, not to relitigate, I've been definitely disappointed to some extent, but give me the interest and the following and the impact it's had on regular season have all been positive. And just because it mean that you're going to turn on the dime. I think a sample size of 4 years or 6 years begins to give you a picture, and then we'll just sort of look at it. But my first reaction is not an expansion. My first reaction is not to accuse anybody. My first reaction is disappointment, and we need to do better, and we need to go out and play some great bowl games. We need to win and be successful, and it's been an interesting week.
The other part that is also in common with the champions that have not been involved in this is that each one of those conferences happen to be the 3 that all play 9 games. So in other words, a crossover game by Ohio State, for example, it happens to be Iowa in November and not Mercer or the Citadel.
Yep.
How difficult is it, because obviously conferences have autonomy, to get everybody on the same page where everybody, for example, because I like the Big Ten playing 9, Jim. I thought great move. But how difficult is it to get everybody on the same page?
Well, that's part of the disappointment, that I don't think it's been recognized of the different level of competitive challenge between playing 8 and 9 and no FCS and 1 FCS. So that's been part of my, we have an opportunity to introduce information, to bring people up to speed on what we're accomplishing. And I can tell you, we did the major intersectional, the 9 games. We did all of that to catch the attention and the respect of the committee. And I'd have to tell you that, you know, Washington had an FCS game, and Penn State lost a close game to a good Pittsburgh team that beat Clemson earlier in the year by 3 points. I think Iowa has won, you know, four games against top five teams in the last 8 or 9 years. So we're not the only ones, but we do it because we're trying to impress the committee. And I think we also do it because it's the right thing to do to build a conference. And I think the Big 12 and the Pac-12 agree. But to date, the committee has it, in my view, that they tend to focus on the losses and they not necessarily on the overall strength. This year, we had more games against FBS. We won more games against FBS. We had the fewest FCS. And, you know, we didn't make it. But we just maybe have to do a better job of having more conversations. But the facts that you bring up are on target.
And, again, I'm with you with the nine-game schedule. I thought it would begin with it anyway. And that then goes to the basketball picture. The last time you were on, I said, how much interest will you have in that first December weekend as to how it plays out, attendance,
yep,
and interest? You said very interested. Now you've had to see a payoff there, Jim.
I thought, you know, between the ACC Big Ten Challenge and the first week of basketball and the Gavitt games, I haven't been able to go year to year looking at attendance and ratings and so on. But I definitely think that all that taken together as a whole was helpful to basketball in breaking through a time period, which is typically football overwhelms the round ball game. I thought it was good. We won't know. You know, how long does it take to change a habit? How long does it take to get people to make appointments and get comfortable? It's a big change. But, you know, if you've watched us over the years, whether it's the basketball challenges that we take on or whether it's the nine-game football schedule, we tend to believe that playing quality opponents over time builds interest, players and fans like it. And eventually I think it will impress. But I think it's fairly true that the nine-game schedules have not had any advantage over the eight-game schedules. But let's not also forget that the teams playing eight-game schedules are good football teams as well.
No, there's no question. There's no question about that. But the Big Ten takes on the challenge within its own conference of scheduling up because they're scheduling within the conference, and that's going to be the case,
yep,
in both football and then with the 20-game schedule in basketball next,
yep,
year. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's probably fair. You know, I would say that the basketball committee has been, you know, working for, you know, probably decades. And I think strength of schedule and you're also talking about, you know, 34 automatic qualifiers and 30 at-larges or 30 at-larges, 34 automatic qualifiers. And so, you know, I would say the football committee is newer. I know this, you know, because we've had a number of chairmen from this group. I've chaired that group. You know, winning 20 games was never entry into anything. Pretty much a fine art of taking apart schedules that he selected as at larges with 16 wins, if they're the right wins. So I'm not, you know, I think they're pretty adept. They have a, you know, a good sample size, like 40 years. Whereas the football committee, I think everyone's just trying to understand how it works.
Right.
4 years.
Exactly.
16 teams. I mean, the basketball committee will select 16 teams in the first two. So it's a little bit different. And I think yet the football group has tried to emulate and follow some of the processes and procedures, but there's just so many fewer data points.
I know. And final question for you, Jim, and I'll let you go. Appreciate the time. And that deals with the student athlete. Certain elements,
yep,
have been implemented, cost of attendance, nutrition,
yep,
fueling stations, and so forth. Do you feel that those are positive steps that are really helping intercollegiate athletics right now? You know, because there are steps that had to be made, but now that you've had,
yep,
a sample size, you like the direction of it.
Not only positive, but necessary. You know, when I was in school, 60s and early 70s, we had the 4-year scholarship. We had the $15 a month laundry money. You know, the training wasn't nearly as sophisticated and as focused. And so when we went did away with the multi-year grant, when we did away with the $15 a month. Those were not good moves for college sports, in my view. So I think that a lot of the things that we've tried to implement, whether it's the voice and vote of the student at the NCAA convention, whether it's the multi-year commitment to education, whether it's the fueling stations, or whether the cost of attendance, all good things, all necessary, and I'm pleased that we've come into a more balanced place with regard to the students who are playing college sports.
Jim, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time that you always give us. We really appreciate it.
Happy holidays, and thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten. There has been over the years, in my opinion, as someone who knows Jim and also knows others in athletics, that you know people thought, well, Jim's not for Penn State. And you could not be more wrong about that, to be honest with you. And then, again, this is based on my knowledge base and knowing him and my connections with other people, all right? So I feel like I have a little bit more to work with than some people. So if people think, oh, he's anti-Penn State, he's 180 of that. He cannot be actually a bigger supporter of Penn State. And, yes, I know you're going to talk about what happened 6 years ago. I got that. But sometimes when you're in a position of leadership, you can be between a rock and a hard place on decisions. And, you know, that aside, he has been a huge supporter of Penn State. Regardless of what you may think or hear, this is, again, based on knowing him a little bit and also knowing a lot of other people who have very strong connections. Hey, it's the holiday weekend. We cannot thank you enough for being a part of this show. We can't thank Brewers Outlet enough for being a part of this show. Stock up. Go to Reagan Street in Sunbury right now, okay? Or tomorrow, and stock up for the week at Brewers Outlet. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Best selection of beer anywhere, imports, domestics, microbrews. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I hope all of you have a great, wonderful, blessed weekend. And we'll be back with you on Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday. Mentioned Thursday, Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer, Dick Girardi. And then on Friday next week, it'll be Jack Ham, Derek Williams, Bob Rondo, and Damon Heward. Enjoy the weekend. Happy holidays from us to you on News Radio 1070 WKOK.